Okay. Conscious Living and Power Radio already. It's that time. I was trying to track down some specific UFO sightings, and that's because I just interviewed for Wendy's Coffee House. I interviewed Cheryl Costa, and she's going to be coming up a little bit later, but you can check it out. She is co-author of The UFO Sightings Deaths Reference United States of America 2001 to 2015. This is a real big deal. Why? Because they've organized all of these sightings and tried to do, I mean, the whole nine yards, getting everything all in some way, shape, or form, some statistics behind it, some possible themes, patterns, that kind of thing, areas where there may be multiple sightings, a certain time of day, a certain type of person, whatever. Some of the stuff, it's real easy. Like when UFO investigators go out and say, we get sightings, we get reports. The most often, it'll be somebody walking their dog or somebody who has a night job and they're out looking at the sky at day. Have a break time. So they look up smoking, smoke break, and dog walking and UFO, and those will come up together. It's very subtle. It's a part of our daily routine. And most people who this is just part of their schedule are there out and about just doing, the real job. And oh my, look there, it's UFO. She actually had a sighting when she was about 12 and it changed. She didn't immediately go, gung ho all into UFO. Made her curious, and she did do a lot of reading. Their family talked about it because it was a family sighting. They saw this object in the sky. They were coming back from vacation, and school was getting ready to start. That's how she remembered. They were driving down the hill out in the country and on the horizon, and she told me, if I just, put your arm out and look at your little finger extended from your arm, see the little finger, that's the size of this sphere. It was a round silver object that just hung there in the sky. And they had to have watched it, I think, about 15, 20 minutes. So, long enough for it, for not to blink and you miss it kind of thing. But that reminded me, a lot of these sightings, there's just no way to, either it's your family, you're with somebody else, and we don't have a whole lot of information to go back and see what else was happening at the time. It's as easy as the time of day, going on in the area, did other people see this? Are there certain types of people who are more likely to report UFOs? She and her partner did some statistics to figure out how many are reported versus the numbers that aren't. And one of the little things that she said they found out was false was that 1 in 10 people reports a sighting. So, she said there's a reason that their statistics are different. A lot of times they were doing those surveys at a MUFON conference. Okay, so they're more likely to be familiar and admit they've seen a UFO. and so trying to make some sense of the numbers that are available now, and they were able to get a lot of the statistics from MUFON to help fill in all of the blanks. And it's just fascinating. I think what she said got her started was in 2012, there was a report that indicated that UFO sightings were declining and there was less interest, and it might have been a fad of, a phase. And that just didn't feel right. And so that piqued her curiosity. And anyway, so this was what I was dealing with and have been going through. And then I thought, the other thing that they did not really cover were the abduction. And she said she took some heat for that, not covering the other stuff. And I think you have to keep some of those things separate, because just because somebody has seen something doesn't mean they've had an experience. And my sighting is different. And that's what I am trying to connect dots with, because the thing that I saw was in my house, inside the house, in the bedroom. And that's what I'm curious about. Are there more sightings like this that have kind of a different aspect to them, where it, maybe it's a small intelligent drone, or maybe the people are tiny because there's a difference in the dimension? I don't know. Maybe it isn't inhabited. To me, it didn't look like it had any people in it. However, I've seen reports where people say they've seen these small miniature type objects with lighted interiors and people or something inside of it. And that wasn't mine at all. Mine was lights. And the thing that I saw looked about the size of a dinner plate, maybe, I'm guessing, between 13 and 15 inches at the most in diameter. And because it was probably about 8 feet away from me, just inside the window and under the ceiling, and I would say just ballpark, you know, 6 to 8 inches inside the window and maybe a foot from the ceiling. And in the middle of the night, my dog growled. So I knew there was, that helped me to identify, yes, it wasn't just me seeing this thing. And I thought the dog was making, it was growling at the cat, just saying, hey, don't get on the bed, I'm already here. So I was assuming, I was just kind of still asleep and, or wanting to stay asleep and thinking that I needed to just pay attention a little bit and see where the cat was going to jump. Hopefully not on my face. And so I was, you know, halfway opening up my eyes to catch them in the act, you know, see who, what was going on. And then I realized when I opened my eyes, there's this light at the ceiling. And I call it the Christmas tree UFO because it was red and green lights, and mostly red with some green lights. And they're about this, the bulb was about 2.5-3 inches around. And it's those, the real pretty clear, crystal clear lights. It did not have a filament. It didn't have anything. It just lit up and very, I thought, you know, it just innocuous. Okay. It didn't look frightening. I was surprised. That was, and as I'm realizing that there's something in my house, it's lit up and it has, you know, it's just right beside the bed. And my dog had let me know that it was there, and he doesn't do anything else. He doesn't start barking or anything like that. And I'm trying to count how many lights are on the plate and trying to get a picture. I knew there was no way I was going to be able to get up and get a camera. You know, people, oh, why didn't you, you know, did you have a cell phone? Do you have a camera? When this stuff happens, it's not like you're at that precise moment thinking I'm going to have an encounter. I never had one in my life like that. I didn't know. So there was no way to prepare for it. And your mind is working so fast at the time that something like this happens. You really have to process a lot of information in a short amount of time. And how can I imprint this so that I will remember it? And then as time goes by, the memory does fade. I remember the encounter, but I don't remember the specific details going back. And maybe I would under hypnosis, but the specific details of what else, what was behind the lights? Was there a material? Was it, was it a metal thing that had the lights on it? There was too much information to process in a short amount of time, because at the most, I probably had just, you know, a minute at the most, a few seconds to do that. Because when I started trying to identify, trying to imprint, my focus began to get really clear. And that's when it shifted. It went right outside the window. So it went from that same spot to outside the window, and I could see it through the mini blinds. I could see the lights, and I thought, that's it. There's no way. It doesn't want me to have more details. And so whatever it was responded to me trying to connect and integrate and conceptualize all the things that it takes when you're trying to focus and put, you know, do the math. That when I started doing it and giving it that my full attention, because I was at that point wide awake, it was gone. And within a few moments after that, it was gone from outside the window. So of course I go back to sleep. But that's a different kind of a sighting. And I've since read somebody over in Europe, and I can't remember the country offhand, but had a similar, described that type of a round object with multiple lights. There were only red and green lights. There weren't any others. And I don't know the significance. I don't know, you know, what that means. And since it just vanished from one being in one spot at one time to outside the wall in the next fraction of a second, let me know that it shifted dimension. And it was able to do that without any kind of sound. I didn't hear a noise, and I didn't feel frightened or uncomfortable. But with my own sighting, I want answers. I want to know if there is there's a theme, a pattern, a meaning, what all that is about, you know, or is it, it's just that element, once you've had a sighting and you have nowhere to go with it, is a little frustrating. So it's nice to see that this is one of the first and most detailed attempts at documenting and bringing all this information under one available, accessible, public place. All right, you can go on Amazon, get the book. That part, it's nice to do the internet thing, but when you have power goes out, there's a lot of documentation to go through with this, and that can be tedious in its own way. But this is a way of giving people who may or may not speak the language some other kinds of, opportunities to connect the dots and figure out, well, why are these numbers different in the USA? Because that's where this is the USA. She hasn't tried to do anything beyond that just yet. They are working on doing some more detailed. I think they were starting with regions and they're maybe focusing on cities next. There's also a chance that they're going to do a TV. They're signed to do some kind of a TV project, but no details on that. And she said something's going to come out in the New York Times, I believe, just after the first of the year. She said a couple months, so we'll figure that out. But this stuff to me is fascinating because it makes us question what we think we know. And as I was preparing, I wanted to go through some of the stuff that I thought was really fascinating that connects to that, because with the information that's changing so fast, we're getting new types of research that indicate that there might be reasons for people who are all present and only some of them see something. It's only some will see the UFO and the others will say, no, nothing was there. I didn't see it. And there's an interesting thing that in terms of research they've done with open-minded people. And of course, you know, every study is going to have its own inherent flaws. But with this and researchers from the University of Melbourne, Australia, they had volunteers and they gave them some personality tests and they tried to include things like extroversion, agreeableness, conscientiousness, neuroticism, and openness to experience. And the last personality trait, the openness, indicates creativity and imagination and whether you're willing to try new things. And so what they did was they tested it through binocular rivalry. Okay, that's when each eye is shown a different image. One has red, one has green. And then most people, they say, will switch back and forth between the two because they're incompatible. And there it is, my UFO, all right? Okay, however, yeah, I'm looking front and center, so there's no, but I'm thinking, oh, red and green. Okay, so there's a significance. I'm going to remember their opposite colors, complementary opposite colors. So they're incompatible, which then meant I was going to remember this. It was imprinted already. And whatever was controlling it or participating in it didn't want me to have too much information. So sometimes what happens, some people will merge the two images into one patch. And the people who scored higher on openness were more likely to see a combined image. So I thought, okay, that's an interesting way to do it. They also had another type of study that allowed people to experience the test is you're watching people throw a ball, a basketball back and forth, and you're supposed to track the number of tosses that the person who's wearing white makes. Okay, so somebody's wearing a dark color, somebody's wearing the white color, they're tossing a basketball, and you're supposed to keep track of which one is doing a certain, you know, tossing back and forth. I'm not going to tell you how it changes, but there's something that happens. And at that point, you're asked, did you see it? And it depends on how you think. Now, to me, it kind of stands out. But then again, I get distracted counting. I was bored. And so I think, well, oh, but with that, it's the nuance. It's the, you know, the novelty that then, you know, I wonder if it's that ADHD, because I didn't like the instruction. And I immediately, or as soon as I became disinterested, looked for something different. And there it was. Whoa, what was that? But a lot of people will not notice this. And I found that fascinating in itself. I thought, wait, you know, and does that mean I'm just not mathematically inclined, or I don't like puzzles? Well, not that particular one. It was tedious. So with that, it's like, okay, I know I'm a little more creative. I do think outside the box, and I do tend to get frustrated when I have something that tells me to do 1, 2, 3, 4 routine, strict, you know, methodical, mechanical, one after the other kinds of automaton things. And I really just kind of, it's like the CIA when they were trying to teach cats how to be spies. They had their assignments. They were supposed to do this. The minute the cat got hungry, they left. They walked off the job. I understand that. It's like, okay, I understand you need me to do the function, do the role, and this is a really great assignment, but I'm hungry right now, so I'll be back. Or not. And that's the part of that creative element, though. When you see something, you get an idea. It's like, oh my gosh, I've got to write this down. I'm sorry, I know we're having a great conversation, but I've got to write this down. And that's where it goes. So that, to me, is also somebody who may also be more inclined to see or interact or engage with a UFO or something unexplainable. Because to me, the first thing I realize about myself when it comes to these kinds of things is, what the heck? What is it? How did that work? So my curiosity is usually the first thing that is engaged, and not the fear. However, when I had another experience, and since I work with the spirit guides, you know this, we've talked about it before, and since I work with that other element, and it's with the nightlight now, it's been 20 years of doing this, non-contact with a non-corporeal being, a consciousness of some other source. What happens with that is that here's this connect, and they tell me, they give me instructions or guidance. And with that, I am told some information that may or may not make sense at the moment. So I just kind of bookmark it. Well, this time they said, you need to control your fear. You need to be able to handle your fear. And now I jumped to conclusions thinking, you know, being physically harmed or something that has more to do with our, you know, our security thing. And I think, well, I've been through a lot of frightening things. And even that with a ghost element or something like that, I've been through some stuff where it was a negative encounter. And it really, the entity held the door shut and there is nobody standing in front of us. My husband and I are cleansing a house, cleaning it, removing an entity, a negative type of entity. And as we smudge the house and corral it, send it to the door, then the door is being held shut. That was pretty amazing. If thing happened before, and it was definitely negative, but so I thought, okay, so the fear, and again, it's curious, like, wow, how does that happen? I'm standing there, this door, you know, we're pushing, opening it, and there's a force pushing against it. And you're thinking, I can't see anything, and it's happening. It's just mind-boggling. Okay, well, there's been a lot of stuff like that. So with that, then I think I know what I'm talking about. And so at 3:00 in the morning from the corner of my room is this thing that is an automatic, auto mechanical type voice that has and that's the cat. Speaking of cats, distracted. That just says my name, but without being able to say it fluently. And so when I hear it, the minute I can feel it physically. I can feel the vibration of that sound, and I immediately go from toe to head, completely freeze. And at the same time, I'm conscious enough to know that I just shut it down. I just blocked it. Whatever happened blocked my receptivity. And that's fear. That's that fight or flight response that we have. And so what the guides and whoever else is trying to give me information were trying to give us a clue about is that we still have in much of our evolution, and what we have been seeded and programmed and how we have evolved, we have a fight or flight sense, a response that is incredibly effective. And it's also in some ways disruptor, and it creates some kind of a barrier to being able to track this stuff. So that's important to know. And that was, and of course, I'm able to hear the guides, and after this happens and I freeze up and I'm thinking, oh shoot, I blew it. And so I hear this little chuckling, this little laughing of, huh, we told you you need to get a hold of your fear, get a handle on your fear. And yeah, well, okay, now I know what you mean. Now it makes sense. Because I had no way of knowing or anticipating that kind of response. And yet, it's a very natural, and it's a safety. It's if when you feel threatened or you feel that you're in an unfamiliar place, then you automatically, your guard goes up. And the only way to get around that is to become more fluid, flexible, trusting, perceptive, and have more experiences with things that we cannot, in our current science, identify, because that's how we learn. And so there are a lot of experiences that many of us are sharing all across the planet. And I post some of these on the blog site. There's a guy, darn it. Okay, the name's escaping me at the moment. He's an artist, and he had an experience with ETs. And he has drawn them, and he also does sculptures of them. I put it on the blog just recently, but I don't have time at the moment. I may try and pick it up during the break here. But so he does artwork to say this is what they look like and this is how they appear. And it just, these kinds of experiences change your life. And so as I was preparing for the interview this morning, I was looking at the types of thinking, you know, having to do with the consciousness. And that's why the studies just stood out about the study there on perception and being open-minded. And then there was another one that came up, and it has to do with pigeons. And it's just fascinating because they were studying pigeons and the way that they, this has to do with time and space. Do they identify like people, you know, or other animals? Do they identify certain times and space? And that, I wouldn't have been able to, you know, put the two together, but that's what then determined that the way that they identify time and space happens differently. They do engage, but they do it through a different type of biological process or physiological process that humans don't. And so the meaning of that meant that time and space may not be on the same, may not have the same configuration that we've always believed. And I thought, I'll have to get that one because I'm just butchering the way that I'm describing this. I just thought it was so amazing that here it is. Pigeons don't have a parietal cortex. They're processing concepts somewhere else, okay? We are the humans and monkeys, animals, the ones that they've studied. We process this type of information in the parietal cortex. So they've identified where it is. So somehow the way birds have evolved makes it a little bit different. And the fact that birds are so smart in that a certain way is now considered that they're very much on par with human and non-human primates. So this is really pretty extraordinary because the way that they process their information to get basically the same result that we get means that they, in the term he says, the interdependence violates, at least physiologically, the space and time are independent dimensions. At least psychologically, the space and time are independent dimensions. So they're coming to somehow get this information in a way that combines the two, where we separate it the way that our brain, our mind works. So, and I'll put a link on that so it makes a little bit more sense. Some of this stuff, when I try to condense it, I might lose a little bit of the specifics or the, you know, the technical aspect. And that's the way my mind works. I just kind of, you know, try to condense it down and make it concise. And then, whoops, okay. It's like the equation. You A and B, and in the middle is this plus sign. And the professor's looking over his shoulder and saying, you might want to add another element to this. You might want to explain that. And that's where the explanation is like, oh, it disappears. But I know how it adds up. It's just the missing link in between that might make it make sense. So anyway, that's just part of the stuff that's going on right now in terms of, you know, our new expanding awareness. And when we have these kinds of experiences, it changes the way we think. And I was going to, after the break, bring those quotes back by Bruce Lipton that talk about, and he's the one who authored the Biology of Belief on consciousness and how we how we process that. But I'll bring that back after the break. And I'm going to try, if I can get that video, I know I put it on the blog, the artist who has been drawing and doing sculptures of the ET race that he connected with, because it's fascinating and it's nice to connect the dots. And in some ways, you know, we're just neophytes with this. We're at the very beginning. And once we get back past the need to say and to discredit other people's experiences because they don't match ours, then we'll start learning more and we'll start connecting more dots and expanding our awareness to allow that some of these unexplained things are just because we don't know how to bring things into a greater cohesion, that we are learning. We have to put some of these things together and do baby steps to get to the bigger pieces of the puzzle. So back in a few, Conscious Living and Power Radio. Thank you for hanging in there.
Jason, I've got to tell you, you're pretty much everything this company is looking for in an entry-level candidate.
Great.
Your resume isn't quite what we're used to, but you've got a fantastic work ethic.
Thank you.
And I'm impressed by how you carry yourself.
So, should we talk about the job?
What? The job? Oh, sorry. Yeah, I have no way of recruiting or even meeting you. This interview didn't happen.
It may sound ridiculous, and that's because it kind of is. There's a huge pool of talent your company is missing out on. Meet the grads of life. Who are they? Talent worth knowing about. Young adults of unique determination and experience. An ideal fit for your company in an entry-level position, internship, or even mentorship. They might not have every qualification you typically look for, but they're exactly who your company needs.
Man, we really could have used him.
Don't miss out on a resource many innovative companies have already discovered. Go to gradsoflife.org to learn how to find, cultivate, and train this great pool of untapped talent. Brought to you by the Ad Council and gradsoflife.org.
I wasn't prepared to be a caregiver to Mom, but a little over a year ago, we realized she couldn't take care of herself without our help. And well, how could I not be there for her? I had no idea how hard it would be and just what I would need to know. Things I never thought of, like how to improve her mood and, even for me, ways to stay positive. Luckily, I found the Caregiving Resource Center from AARP. It had articles about the basics that got me started, but also information about the hurdles I was facing in this new role. I could even connect with experts and hear from others who had been in my place. I know this road we're on isn't an easy one, but I'm really happy to have the extra help for her and for me.
Caregiving Resource Center at aarp.org/caregiving. Articles, tips, and tools to help you both care for your loved one and care for yourself. This message is brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Vikings.
We come from different places.
Uptown. Downtown.
We come to different conclusions.
Half empty.
Half full.
But when we live united, we make a real difference in the building blocks of life. Children succeed in school, families gain financial stability, the health of our neighbors improves, and suddenly so do our communities. Real change won't happen without you.
Live united.
So give, advocate, volunteer, live united. Sign up today at liveunited.org. Brought to you by United Way and the Ad Council.
Would your business survive a disaster? Nearly two-thirds of businesses aren't prepared for an emergency, and 40% of businesses that experience a disaster never recover. Make an emergency plan now, before it's too late. For a free online tool that helps you develop an emergency plan to keep your business up and running should disaster strike, visit ready.gov/business. Brought to you by the Federal Emergency Management Agency, the American Red Cross, and the Ad Council.
It's that time, Conscious Living and Power Radio. Thanks for tuning in. I appreciate your time. And I appreciate your open-mindedness as well. I mean, this, we wouldn't be here doing all of this if there weren't a reason for it. And for me, a lot of my stuff during this life is to help my own sense of reality expand beyond this physical plane and to become more comfortable going in between. There are a lot of ways to learn and grow and expand. And some of it, you know, you can get out of the book, but the majority has to do with how you work with that information, how you you know, morph into the being you are born to become. And so much of it is a work in progress. It's a step by step. You go forward, you make mistakes, and then you go back and say, oh, I need to reformat the hard drive. So that getting all of this stuff together, I wanted to just, because I covered over it at the beginning of the show, I wanted to give you a couple of things. Pigeons are smart enough to perceive abstract concepts like time and space. That's the title of the article. Okay, so that I'll put that on the link for Wendy's Coffee House, and that'll be there. In the meantime, you can check it out yourself as well. And the other thing, the book, UFO Sightings Desk Reference, United States of America, 2001 to 2015. That's the interview with Cheryl Costa that I was talking about coming up. So I'm just giving you some bookmark stuff here so you can go with that. And the other thing I was talking about, there's a Newsweek special edition coming out, Life Beyond Earth. This is like 100 pages or so. But they've just done a little compilation of some of the stuff that we know. I have not seen it yet, so I can't tell you any more about it than what I have seen as the overview. Photos, first-person accounts from people who've been abducted by aliens, ETs, however they term it. And that was one thing that Cheryl said she didn't cover in their book. She took the, you know, some grief over that. But she said that they were really focus more on the statistics, and that made a big difference on how they covered it. So I do think that that's a good thing just to keep separate. And the other thing, the open-minded people have a different visual perception of reality. Okay. That is for that. That's the actual title. So you can find out about that. And they also have, this is what I'm going to put on the selective attention test, where people see something and they're all focused on a certain thing and they are engaged so much in that they don't notice the other element that is in front of them. Selective attention test. All right. If you want to cheat, you can go ahead. And just for fun, two websites, if you're ever, you know, at a need, at a lack for something to do during the day, just focus on the live ISS stream. That's kind of fun. International Space Station. Then the other one, if you know, if that one's not quite active enough for you, or too active, then check out Nessie Cam. Yes, the Loch Ness Monster webcam, 24/7. You can't see anything in the dark. However, they say they've had lots of UFO sightings, so feel free to follow along in the dark just in case a UFO does materialize. Bruce Lipton, and this is the other from Bruce Lipton. At the atomic level, matter does not even exist with certainty. It only exists as a tendency to exist. And in that way, it has to do and it relates to our perception of what we see and how we experience reality. That's why for me, a lot of this stuff that I find important isn't something that is a visual. It's me trying to fine-tune my perception and work with that so that I can understand what's going on outside of our visual range, and in so many ways, how important that is to what we do perceive and how we respond. There's a thing on the, I just saw it this morning as I, of course, doing the UFO stuff, picked it up, and the Uber guy was driving, I think, Portland, Oregon. He was on the highway and he happened to catch on the dash cam a crash. And this is an incredible, incredible capture. The semi just goes on its side and rolls over. At the same time, when you go back and look at this, there's a meteor or UFO. It's unidentified. Anyway, most likely a meteor. It just zooms right across the screen. Very shortly after that is when this semi takes a dive. And the guy says, all I was trying to do was get out of the way. So the sparks are flying on the road and the semi is just zooming, zipping across the pavement. And they said nobody was injured, which is pretty incredible when you look at that accident. And it didn't look like anybody else was involved, but I don't know. We were only seeing from this snippet the immediate crash of the truck. So you couldn't see what caused it. It's all, you know, somebody was speculating that maybe he saw the meteor and that caused him the crash. I don't even know if he was aware of it, but that was just fantastic. Some of this stuff happening is going to have a logical explanation. It's the stuff that we can't explain that keeps us curious. And some of the stuff that is coming out now about the CIA and how they for 22 years or so with that Blue Books, Project Blue Book, 22-year investigation that they were, and this is from the time the magazine I was talking about. Newsweek Special Edition, Life Beyond Earth. I wanted to get the right name before I gave you the wrong connection. So Project Blue Book ran for 22 years, and then it was called off. Then it was over. And so once it was over, then all of a sudden it was not cool, and nobody wanted to talk about UFOs, especially if it's related to the government. And the curiosity about this is that for 22 years, they investigated, they explored, they did all sorts of, you know, trying to connect the dots, and then it was no longer allowed. It still happens, and it's still going on. And at one point, the guy who does the Black Vault, he was following up some information with when the CIA let some of these Freedom of Information Act pieces out. And he saw that it referenced in this 1.4 million declassified government documents, it referenced that the UFO, it was like there are Air Force Instruction 10206. And he said he found it maybe 10 or 12 years ago. And it dealt with what to do if pilots see something strange in the sky and how they have to report it. Now, most of it's like that, the missile, I mean, I'm not sorry, but the missile, but the, maybe a missile, yeah, okay, fine, but a comet, something that, you know, we need to know what's happening, is it a missile? And so report those kinds of things. And at that time, on the internet, in that information, it also listed unidentified flying objects. And so they asked him questions about that. He said somebody else, it was a Air Force training manual that was discovered through the FOIA request. And so when he asked about that, then it was wiped. He said he talked to a reporter about that and they couldn't find it again. Exactly why it's missing, nobody says, but that little piece of info was just erased. Like what's happening now with some of the other things. Anyway, but the section now deals with hurricanes. That's not the same thing, okay? It just doesn't have that same ring to it. Anyway, those kinds of things are also available on his site. Just the fascinating, he's got tons of information on there, John Greenwald, and it's GREENEWALD. He's the founder of the Black Vault. He's just got a really nice site. So if you're curious, check that out. It's one with, it just, you know, these kinds of things that we don't have a chance to really talk about every day and that don't make the major headlines, but are still part of our reality. It makes us question what is real and what is important in terms of talking about and sharing and exploring and expanding our awareness with. That's why I talk with people like one of the guys that I interviewed for the out-of-body things, William Buhlman. His stuff is fascinating. But before him, there was Robert Monroe. He was in radio. And so that made a natural connect for him to get into the audio stuff and get into the hemisync programs. And then talking with Joe McMonagle about what it's like to be a remote viewer. And he also now works with the Monroe Institute, and he did at the time. And so a lot of these people who are affiliated with different types of organizations are still researching consciousness and still exploring and still expanding. And the more you have at your disposal, you know, of these kinds of projects that you can investigate and explore, the more you shift and change your own consciousness, your own belief systems, your own patterns, and the more, from my experience, the more you start to have these unusual, unexplainable, unexpected, curious encounters. And that makes life interesting. So the other thing that I was getting into in terms of my own experiences is that sometimes you will have an opportunity to share the experience. Like with Cheryl Costa, she was with her family when they saw the UFO. The UFO that I experienced in the house, my husband slept through it. He did not wake up for it. The dog growled, so I knew the dog was there to, you know, give me basically corroboration. But there was a day when I got that internal prompt and said, "We're here. We're above the house." And I'm like, okay. So I went out to look. And at that time, this is when I reported above the house. And I'm trying to think. It looked like a star. And about the time, the time of day was late day, not quite sunset, but that in-between time. And so it was still bright out. And it could have been that this was reflecting from the sun. That's what I think happened, because it looked like a star. I think the only reason we could see it was because of the reflection. Because when I looked earlier in the afternoon, when I got the prompt about 2:30 or so, I didn't see anything. I went on the porch and looked up at the sky, and I saw clouds. I saw butterflies. I saw, okay, is that you? Yeah, okay, fine. I'm open. Yep, sure, that must be you. Just, all right, I'm going with it. Like I said, I'm open-minded. And there's a difference between being curious and gullible, okay? Just to spell that out. But so I didn't really think I was catching the drift of whatever it was. But my husband comes home and he said, "Did you see what's above the house?" Now that got my attention, because we had not talked about any of this. And I'm thinking, well, no. So I go outside, and that's when he shows me this little thing that looks like a star. And this isn't the time of day that you see stars. It's still bright, sunny, shiny. There are no stars in the sky in the daytime. And, well, never mind. Anyway, so the fact that he came home and pointed this out to me when we had no contact, and I had been told earlier in the day, "Hey, come look at us. We're above the house," is helpful, because both of us, in our own way, were connecting to this experience. And as subtle and innocuous and tiny and mundane as that little experience is, it's a tie telling us that we have other ways to connect with our reality that sometimes we discount because they aren't big, bright, shiny, huge, football-size objects or encounters. These little things are helping us to expand our awareness, to help our minds grow sharper, and help us become less fearful of things that we do not yet understand. There's a lot of fear out there right now with some of these kinds of contacts and with the abduction aspect. And even when I talked recently with one of my guests, Jean Walker, who wrote the book Family Secrets, talking about her experiences of the paranormal and ET and remembering abductions, and her fear, her sense of discomfort is very real. But at the same time, that's just a part of it. It isn't the entire spectrum. And so all across the planet, people are having different and unique and unexplainable encounters that we don't yet understand the purpose of and how it, makes sense in our world. But I believe it's part of our evolution of consciousness and helping us to expand our own awareness and being able to go between the planes and go between states of being and knowing, so that we could, in my opinion, become better human beings, better human creators, better at, in some way, shape, or form, appreciating the larger reality that we are born into. But it's a work in progress. After interviewing people like Mary Rodwell and my other person who's has had numerous experiences since childhood, Marcia Schaefer, talking about how UFO reality or ET reality, extraterrestrials, are shaping our future. These folks have a different experience. They don't have the fearful, frightened, look behind, always questioning where's the next, is another shoe going to drop? They're much more hopeful and positive about what's happening right now. And especially the artist that I was talking about that I posted on the Blogspot, drawing his pictures and saying, these people are around us. And they look very different. They're unique, and their presence is in some way, shape, or form, for some of us, affirming that we are not alone, that there is an amazing and fantastic world beyond the one that we now inhabit. And it's just enough to make us curious without giving us too information that we're going to have to connect our dots in our own way and become more intelligent in our approach to others, not wanting to either suppress, kill, or destroy something that we consider to be different and in some way, shape, or form intimidating because we can't explain it, because we don't know what's happening. So discounting and making it less frightening in some way is not in our best interest, because sometimes we have to face things that are going to frighten us. And it's just like when the guides told me, you have to get a hold of your fear, get a grip on your fear, and then explained and demonstrated how that was relevant by just me having an experience outside my comfort zone. And all of a sudden, I don't know what to do. My body goes into the autopilot, fight or flight response, and then I have destroyed the connection with that other entity element. And my initial response, because it was more of a mechanical voice, it did not sink. It did not feel familiar. It felt totally foreign. Alien's a good word, but probably just, you know, a cookie cutter card box. It does not really describe the feeling. It makes it, it's just too limited in really putting a context to how it felt to have that presence. And that's the other thing. I did want to get into the reason I'm giving you more about this UFO thing is because if you do experience it, you're the one who gets to take the notes. You're the one who gets to define it. You're the one who gets to explain it because it's your experience. Nobody else can tell you it's real or not. You have to determine that for yourself. A way to give it some kind of texture, to give it some kind of concrete presence, is to remember the sensations that it gave you. When I have had them in my house, not knowing at the time for sure that that's what it was, having, because they didn't identify themselves, that one had to do with the barometric pressure shift. I felt something, the air changed, and the animals acted differently. They were much more agitated and excited. And when we got the prompt to stay in one room of the house, I didn't call the animals in. They all came into the room at the same time, and they left at the same time. Then we knew it was safe to go. And this is, I'm just giving an overview. This was a very unique, unusual experience during a time of transition in my life. And fortunately, my husband was present. We both went through this together. And the time that they were present in the house, in the living room, it sounded like a basketball court and tennis shoes going across the court. At that time, they said it was a time shift and they were changing the timeline. This is where this stuff gets kind of weird. You just take it, I take it with a grain of salt. I don't know how to validate or verify that kind of information. So I allow it to present itself. And then later, if I can connect the dots, fine. But at that time, I did follow the instructions. And when the cat, there were two cats and a dog, when they came into the room, then it was clear that I wasn't the only one getting that information, that somehow the animals also responded. And that was what was amazing. Amazing. It just, okay, so something else is going on here that our animals do pick up on. And as we learn more about how they function in the world, it would be helpful to connect some more dots. And my producer is giving me a joke on the sideline here because we're connecting by Skype. And he says, that would be a perfect joke. Two cats and a dog walk into a bar. Thank you, Matt. I'm going to miss you. Okay, so see, this is one of the things of having a great producer. You know, sometimes they distract you, just like the ADHD thing I was talking about earlier. I had a perfect focus there, and then my ADHD helper chimed in with the cat and the dog joke. But there are other things when you have an encounter. The senses are heightened. Things will smell. You'll have either something that's familiar from that area or something that doesn't belong there at all. That's another cue. Now, they also call it clairsentience and clairaudient and all those words. But this is different when it's that alien ET transdimensional element. It has nothing to do with that psychic. It's in some way, shape, or form in your space, in your knowing, in your consciousness. And that's where we're growing and expanding. A lot of this stuff right now is, I think, too early to put labels on. So I just wanted to share this kind of thing right now because we're going through some incredibly chaotic transitions. That's what this is. It's a transition from where we are at this moment to 5D. They also call it ascension. And it has to do with expanding your awareness of reality in a new way and ways that we do not have identification, terms, definitions, explanations for. It's happening as we go through it. And with any kind of encounter, you are going to experience a shift in your reality. And that's what happened when I first went through this stuff with the extraterrestrial encounters. But before that, with the nightlight back 20 years ago, when the nightlight started doing its little flicker thing, and I had to learn to channel. I had to learn how to, I did the automatic writing. I practiced channeling at first because I didn't think I could do it out loud. I would write it to automatic writing and do it that way, and then was guided to do it in the audio form. And I'm thinking, there's just no way I could keep up with it because the words came so fast. And at the same time, as I continued to do it, the more fluid and fluent it became. And now it's just a part of who I am and how I work. It doesn't mean that I have completely drifted off and don't engage with the 9-to-5 world. That helps keep me grounded in a lot of ways. But it does mean that I do approach reality differently. And I think we have a lot more questions than we have answers in our world, in our present environment. And a lot of this right now we're going through is growing pains. The very, very big important thing is that we have to learn to treat each other better. Whether it's a person, an animal, a being, we have to be more compassionate and more caring and more loving in our interactions. And that is a work in progress. There is no perfect way to do it. There is no one size fits all. There is each human being here in this incarnation has a program. And that program is also, in some way, shape, or form, connected to somebody else's. And as each of us do our role, our part, our job, then we influence others. And my role is to remember there is no perfect answer. There's the answer that works for me. And it may not jive with somebody else's, and that's just okay. As long as I do no harm. Because when you connect with these ET elements and these other non-dimensionals or multidimensionals or transdimensionals or extra dimensionals, the common theme when you want to elevate yourself is do no harm. That's the beginning. And if you can maintain that and work with that, you have a chance of stepping up to the next level. And as you practice doing no harm, it begins to feel differently. And I don't mean there's a guilt and all this, you know, negative. It goes into, I don't have to hurt that person in any way. I can do this in a gentle way and just step aside or, you know, change my objective, change my focus, change my perspective. And once I start doing those things from my behavior, then my external reality shifts. This goes back to the biology of belief with Bruce Lipton. And what you do in terms of thinking, believing, perceiving is your deal. Nobody else determines that for you. So as we go through this and these experiences with UFOs and ETs and ghosts and non-corporeals, we are learning. Thank you for listening. I appreciate your time. You're going to learn some amazing, amazing things in your lifetime. And I hope you have a chance to share them or at least come to terms with how they fit in your reality, because this is an amazing time to be alive. A lot of chaos, a lot of transition, a lot of growth. Till next time, keep it positive and stay curious. See ya.